For this price, 45 gitas a day. Wow. But you cannot imitate the number, you can imitate, you can follow in the attitude. And the foul thing is, I don't know if you ever spoke to Hainamananda. If you do, you realize that he is an extremely humble devotee. He doesn't come in and goes, 900 bucks a day, kicks my away. It was the old-fashioned mantras he used to chant. Generally, it doesn't work out in the long term. I remember Hainamananda, he loves to serve prasadam to devotees and this kind of things, you know. And a simple devotee. Of course, on the street he can get slightly fanatical. So say for like a very new devotee, he may have a hard time to understand to go on traveling with Hainamananda. He gets slightly depressed, you know. You go there out as a new bhakta and there's somebody just unloading the car in front of your eyes. Just vocabulary unloading the car into the shopping street. This is a little bit depressive, you know. So therefore, it's sometimes good for new devotees to be introduced into Sankirtan. They understand from the beginning, this is not a place to make numbers, this is a place to spread Krishna consciousness. Competition, yeah. Oh, yeah. But if it leads, you know, this, then it becomes kind of fruitive. If it leads to frustration, you know, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. If competition leads to more inspiration, that's nice. But if it leads to more frustration, something is wrong on the way. So this is not the competition we want. And these places are different. Like I mentioned before, in Czechoslovakia you can put up a table and sell like this. In Germany you put up a table, a police will just get you right away. Hello, here we are with the table. Yeah, okay. Then you can distribute to the police stations. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So it's different. Yeah. The Krishna Z is not what we are giving. Krishna Z is what we are hiding. Yeah.
I heard Harry Namananda speak one time. He said that we didn't start off by distributing 900 books a day. When we first went out distributing books, we were distributing 10 books, 15 books.
Hmm.
And Harry Namananda
said
he didn't start with 900 books.
No. Nobody starts. But there are some of them go very fast high, but some of them less. But I tell you, there are devotees which never went really high. They were just year after year doing their steady book distribution. And they have a very respectable position among the Vaishnavas. It's very much, steadiness is very much, that's in the long term, that what makes us successful. Prabhupada said, you know, this stars in the sky, you know, just nothing left. Moon, you know, steady moon. That's what Prabhupada really appreciated. Something else?
You said about how difficult it is for the devotee to see they can't distribute so many books. And then we heard, he said that Harry Namananda at the beginning was distributing 15. Then he said about devotees going on steadily. But generally, devotees then will increase the number of books they're distributing, and maybe from 1-2 over some years they can distribute so many people's sets of books.
If what?
Over some period of time, generally the distribution increased. The devotees have been doing Sankirtan for 10 years. He would generally distribute more books than. He could distribute many more books, 5, 6, 10.
You mean he increased year by year, he's increasing his capacity of distributing books? We notice that devotees have a limit. They go to a certain high, right? And then they try to go over this and they go more, but there is a certain thing. One should go, you know, to the top, yeah, And even more, and one knows one's never enough. Even Hariananda, I will tell you, 900 books a day, this is Maya. Because by that time he did 900, he realized he could have 2,000. There is no limit to this. But, you know, we go to the, and then it's good to keep a level and be steady. It's always fair to go, try to go for more, but steadiness is more relevant. Yeah, money goes along with it, yeah. But if you're saying that you lower the price of the book and you will distribute more books, it's a very short-term thing. Because Krishna is not that cheap. You cannot just get Krishna like this, just, okay, today we give it for half a price. Then suddenly you end up the same amount of books for half a price, like for a full price, and it's still heavy. And it's still, and people go, what, you want 2 cents more? You know, no, thank you. You know, and then you are in the same trouble like before, because Krishna wants to get you good to get purified. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Would you like to say something for those yogis who are staying in this community? Like me, I'm staying in this Gurukul. I never had any experience of Sankirtan, and I always appreciate whenever the yogis come for the festival and hear the Sankirtan. Yeah. Would you like to say how.
You know, well, you are distributing books there in the gate.
No, that's through the yogis, not all the yogis who are doing.
Book distribution in India is also possible, so far I know, but. But it's a different thing. It's very much different thing. And like this project in itself, Gurukul, supposed to train up book distributors. The young boys, if they come that strong and they just, you know, such a strong mind, sometimes I think some of these here walking around, I think, whew, he grows up and goes in there, you know, one day he's out there preaching. He doesn't need any mantra. You know, these people just look and they go, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, a real brahmachari is somebody who just walks through the street and all the shopkeepers come out and they start to give donations automatically. Just by his effulgence, just by his... you know, we may not be that type of persons, but maybe they are already here. Maybe they are already growing up, I don't know.
It was right down the street where Bhakti Siddhanta would be very happy if someone came from giving just a few pieces of literature for just a few pais.
Yeah.
Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada said even just an ordinary anybody, Bhakti Siddhanta would be so happy. And
also similarly Srila Prabhupada. I personally saw Srila Prabhupada in England last time he was there before he departed, and it was the last time Srila Prabhupada was in the Western world. So we came down from Sankirtan, you know, one day. We didn't expect that. It wasn't scheduled at all. And Saturday night I came to the temple, and there was already the temple president in front of the door, waving like mad, dancing and waving. And I was thinking, what's going on? I had a car full of books, and I came to the temple, and he was going, Prabhupada is in England! It was like, because Prabhupada was sometimes very sick and he was fasting and nobody expected him to travel anywhere. That's when he was in England. So, you know, we unloaded the last books and there's the word is jumping in my car, I didn't even know who it is, and I just turned around the same evening and drove the whole night across, you know, Belgium and this and end up on a ferry to England from Germany. And we came there, you know, in the morning, driving like mad through London, never drove on the left side anyway, just Prabhupada, you know, it was a wham, drove to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we came there, and it was a very shocking thing, because I remember Srila Prabhupada always, you know, Srila Prabhupada going on morning walk and preaching against the scientists, but as soon as we arrived in Manor, we saw that there's something else happened. Srila Prabhupada was in a very special mood. He was actually fully absorbed, completely absorbed in Krishna in that sense. I'm not qualified to comment too much on this, but that wasn't the same Prabhupada I remember all the time. So we went in the middle of the day in the temple room, and I was chanting my Gayatri, and suddenly the door goes open, and there's Hare Kesha Swami inside, and he goes, "Hey, hey." And I was chanting my Gayatri. So I just completely broke up the Gayatri, and he just pushed me out of the temple, and he pushed me in front of all kinds of little, you know, floors, and suddenly the door opened, and there was Prabhupada. So it was a small room, so I just made my dandavat, and it was so quiet. Srila Prabhupada was so absorbed. And then the mail came in. Tamakrishna Maharaj was the secretary. He was reading the mail. So he was opening the mail and reading the letters. And then Prabhupada made very short comments because he could speak very little. So Tamakrishna Maharaj took notes. And then he answered the mail. Srila Prabhupada said, so like I remember there was one envelope with the big pictures from Ratha Yatra from Los Angeles, and Prabhupada took the pictures, and I always wanted to have such a big Ratha Yatra, big cars. He really likes it. Tamakrishna Maharaj would immediately note down, and then he opened one envelope, and there was paperback. I don't know exactly the book. I guess it was Spanish TLC, something like this, new print. It was paperback. I remember. Prabhupada's mood changed immediately. And he opened the eyes and he took the book out. And first of all, he proved the binding. You know? it's okay. And then he put the book on his lap like this. And then he was... my book. And everybody was just... And it was not very difficult for anybody to see what the real thing was for Prabhupada. You know, we don't want to minimize any other projects, offend some devotees, but this was a real thing. Prabhupada was crying reading the Sankirtan results. Please never forget this. It's not some offense, or we don't want to minimize anybody, but Prabhupada, this was his heart. And whoever does this activity is very close to Prabhupada. And he knows it too. And therefore it's so inspiring to see more devotees going on Sankirtan, because this is Prabhupada coming again. It can be a Bhakta Joe from Los Angeles. You don't think, Bhakta Joe. But maybe it's Prabhupada again. Prabhupada puts his Shakti in him, his energy, and there we have another one, and it will never stop. Maybe some old generals may get short here and there, but the new ones are going to come, and they're going to keep on going. But it requires preaching, it requires inspiration. One has to talk about this, one has to generate the spirit in the temples all the time. If you don't talk about this, time is going to cover up, and they will think, well, that was in the 60s, you know, and they did some marathon for Prabhupada, but you know, now we are in the 90s and we have to have some business to maintain the family. Anyway, we don't want to offend anybody. The old times are changing, you know, and again, I don't want to offend anybody. To maintain family, well, but everyone has the business. But Prabhupada said, like example, the books are the big business. There's no limits. I mean, we don't want to go on in more details and offend somebody, but you can always do some book distribution. I remember in a marathon, there was one marathon, Prabhupada liked the story like anything. There was one Maharaji, she was just getting a baby. And she had this trolley, you know, with this little thing inside, and she was pushing it around. But she wanted to go on marathon too. It's very difficult to combine these two things. So she loaded the Gitas underneath, you know, under the sink, and she was going in a shopping street. And she was like, you know, hello, you know, and then take one of these, and the baby was, and then you know, and then when they gave too little, she looked like pitiful into the thing, and she was going, can you give a little bit more? You know, and then, you know, you can use it as a Sankirtan then too. Maybe she could go on a few hours a day, so what? You can always do something. You have these little things, you can have them on your arm. This is not for Ramacharis. But you know, you can have them on your arm, and they can have these invitations, and they go, meh! You know, and people, everybody likes to take from the kid like that. You can stop anybody with the kid like this. You know, anybody stops for a kid and they scream, you know, and then take one of these, you know, like that. I'm distributing in Sweden like this, because I don't know Swedish yet so much. So I always go in a marathon, you know, in Stockholm around, and then I go the books behind the back, you know, like in a, you know. I go, excuse me, do you speak English? And they go, yes. Can I help you? Yeah, you can take one of these. And they go, oh, no, you know, again, Hare Krishna. But it's usually too late, you know, it's just they feel obliged and they get us out of the situation, they are too lazy to get out of the okay, alright. I was thinking, you know, one marathon, it was like third marathon I am in Stockholm, one marathon I was just, you know, excuse me, you speak English? And they go, I don't want any book, you know. I was thinking, all these poor English tourists coming to Stockholm, you know, coming from the train station, they go, excuse me, do you speak English? They go, I don't like Hare Krishna. You know, they're saying, a strange tone. You know. You can use anything. You can be the tourist. Okay, you are the tourist, you know, walking around. Excuse me, you know. Or in Germany, you can get the books like this. You go, excuse me, how do I get to the train station? You know, and Germans, they love to give advice, you know. Yes! Yes, go like, and then you go over like that, and then over there, double, you know, and then you go, thank you very much for your advice, and by the way, you can take one book like this, and they go, okay, how much is it gospel? So, you know, they're like, this is German. We used to finish we had the quotas too, so like you want to do 100 books, and you have 98, and it's 7 o'clock, nobody on the street, so you drive with a car around the block, you know. You know, before you drive to the hotel or to the camping or whatever. And then you go from the car, hello, excuse me, how do I get to the train station? They go, and then you do 2 books more, like from the car, like, you know, before you go to sleep. I mean, maybe it used to be pretty crazy. Especially I remember the times at Rohini Sutta, we were going just by 2, you know. So we had a loaded van so fanatically that it was exhaustion powers and was hitting the ground. So we had a quota by Wednesday. We have to empty it halfway, otherwise, you know, it will break. So we always, there was a sound always in the back. This so by Wednesday it disappeared. So we knew, we are halfway down. You know, we were pretty simple in our way of thinking. And then we were sleeping in a car. We always drove in some forest and we had something with a water and took shower like that. So, and then we were so frenetic. We had such a competition going on. That sometimes, you know, we went to sleep, you know, and then we are now sleeping back, and I asked Rohini, hey, how much? And he was quiet, you know, and he was going, I have 98. And I was going, I have 100. And then I went to sleep, and then I heard this, and then he was getting out of the car, you know, in the middle of the forest. It's really too much, you know. And then I go to sleep, and I suddenly see, if I were to sleep from the window of the car, there's this hunter coming, you know, with this short rabbit or something. And then he has a Gita in his hand. You know? He got him somewhere in the forest. We were so mad, we started in the morning, you know, already chanting the rounds in the forest, you know. We started already like that. I remember still this one day, there was a farmer plowing on a field, yeah? Like, early in the morning, you know, 6 o'clock, 5, 6, you know, this... with a tractor, and suddenly I see this figure, you know, Rohini Sutta is like a rabbit jumping on that tractor, you know, and just pumping the books on him, then he coming back, you know, with 16 rounds and 6 books and looking at me like he was ferocious. I could imagine that farmer coming home from the field, you know, to his wife with 6 books, same Gitas or something like that, 60 Gitas the same or something like this, and then his wife would ask him, where you got that from? And he was, oh, there was on a field, one guy jumping like this. we had a crazy time. there was a time we were sleeping the whole winter in a car, and there was no heating in a car. So we were sleeping on the motors, you know, on highways. I don't know if they have it in other, some countries don't have this, but most countries have this. On a highway, there's a motel, and you drive in a parking lot, and then you take shower down there for the truck drivers. There are special rooms to take shower. So we were using the shower rooms like that, and then we were chanting, you know, outside. So we drove in that parking lot like that, took a rest, took a shower. And then, because it was too cold outside, it was snow and everything, so we were chanting in front of the bathroom. They had usually a small sink. Sometimes they had some gambling machines, you know. And this, so we put some picture of Nrisingadev there, and then we were chanting. And in the early morning, there's hardly anybody there. But sometimes the whole bus of people came, and they all came down the stairs, you know. And then there's these two guys, you know, with a big picture of Nishingani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we got quite some audience sometimes, and they're just standing there looking, what are they doing? So we figured out, actually, it's you know, maybe we can just do some books that way too. So we brought books with us down there, you know, and piled up the books and chanting Hare Krishna. And then we waited until the whole bus came, and they were just... And then he said, turn around, and he made the announcement, you know. And here we are, these books, and yesterday, what are these books, you know. And then they... Basically, they all took a book. It's an amazing morning, you know, early morning. You go in a bus station and like this, and they have this two guys chanting there with a big picture of a half man, half lion, you know. It's very spectacular. So we used to just, we were so addicted to this that we were actually particularly going, even in the summertime, to these places to chant our rounds there, you know. Because, you know, it's just, sometimes we had a goal of 16 books or 16 rounds or something like this. Anyway, it was pretty, not to be imitated, it's crazy. Better one chance than ours, carefully, you know. We didn't do it for too long. But one can get in such a mood on Sankirtan. This is just your way to relate to the world. As Lord Chaitanya says, whomever you meet, you give him something about Krishna. Then life becomes very blissful. If one arranges the whole life around that, the life becomes very blissful, very easy. Maharaj, you still don't want to say anything? Please.
Hey, Haribol.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I had a chada here. I have a chada here. I have a chada for him. Put us in
there's no question.
So you see the bliss. Manidhara Prabhu is always very blissful. So he can keep distributing books for such a long time. Somebody asked about that 10 years. They used to say 2 years. Sometimes different people have different ideas. But like Rohini Sutta Prabhu, even from beginning he physically had no energy, right? The temple president told him he can't go for Sankirtan. He's too skinny, too weak. But he went anyway. Still, he looks the same, but somehow when he gets on Sankirtan, the power comes. And I think we all find that, because transcendental activity. So it's just a matter of course, we have to do all the maintenance, regulate, eat properly, so many things. But the karmas are working. Even professional athletes, sometimes 20, 30 years, hellish type of work. So we can do this if we have the consciousness. This is a mental activity because Krishna is actually doing everything. If we think we're the doer, then we can't do it for very long because we're not the doer. So Krishna will stop us one way or another. But if we understand Krishna is doing everything, then we can do because we just depend on Krishna. Utilize the thinking power to think of Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, you think of me and fight. So this is the basically the whole thing. Then, of course, we may read Harinamananda Prabhu does 900 books a day, so we should want, we should pray, think, but we can't become, somebody might think, well, I can't do that, so I'll quit. Sometimes this is happening. The competition, if we're thinking the purpose of competition is for me to win and be number one and get whatever the prize is, then also we may win for a little while, but it won't last. But the competition is to enliven everyone because for Krishna's pleasure, that everyone can keep increasing. Ultimately, we cannot compete with Krishna, who's doing everything. So, depending on so many factors that nobody can figure out. Somebody can distribute more, someone can distribute less, or one place is different, all places are different. The devotee is an expert judge of time and circumstance. But the Sankirtan devotee, he sees all time as and circumstance as a chance to distribute book or to preach, no matter where he is. No matter where we happen to get sent, sometimes even you're in a country where normally it's good, but there's a bad spot, or the police come, or demons come. Sometimes we're in a country where it's some different circumstance. But it can be done everywhere because it's transcendental activity. It's like you said, in Hungary, if people give 10% of their wage, that's incredible. Price. In Japan, if they give, you know, it seems for Hungary, I guess whatever they give was nothing, would seem like so much. But for them, it's like, you know, they just use for any purpose, buy a little, one little small Coca-Cola, they spend $1, right? And for book, they also give a few dollars. They don't know the value, but as much as they see the devotee in ecstasy or the devotee really into the book, then they get interested. Well, what is this? What is this person so much interested in this for? They want to see what it is. Also, the devotee is interested in that person and connecting him with Krishna. So we all know all these things and hear them, and it's a matter of practice. Myself, I never did so big either, Sankirtan, but to keep trying. I mean, Krishna's doing everything anyway. Prabhupada, so many times he said that Bhakti Siddhanta was very pleased if a brahmachari distributed even one magazine. Still, Prabhupada is also pleased if we distribute one, but he'd say, now do two. In other words, don't get puffed up. Sometimes the devotees were very puffed up. They'd come to tell Prabhupada, we distributed 500 books. Oh, well, you should distribute 1,000. What, you stupid. Because puffed up. But if somebody was very humble and they distribute one book, he'd be, oh, very good, very good. Right? Manidhar told me when that same time all the German devotees came in London, and they were very a little proud. They were doing the biggest in the world, and they came in and they said, we're the German Sankirtan devotees. Prabhupada said, so what do you know the philosophy? And nobody knew what to say. But same time, you'd probably tell someone else, they're wonderful, they're doing so many books. So the attitude is there. That's the real thing. Not that we should think, well, I'm a pure and I distribute one book, so it's all right. It's all many tricks the mind is always trying to play to make us forget Krishna. But the competition is supposed to be very healthy, that everybody's thinking, even if somebody wins very big, we become happy that Krishna is pleased by that person's work. And also we see what can be done, because in every we put limitations, just like in the material world, in the running, you know, track for the 1 mile run, nobody could go less than four minutes for so many years. Everybody was trying. So that many doctors, they wrote many big papers, they did research. It's impossible for the human being to run 1 mile in less than 4 minutes. Right? So finally this one guy did it, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. So then in the next month, 4 or 5 other people did. Now everybody does. You can't get anywhere near the competition. They keep breaking. So book distribution, we started thinking, you know, you can't even distribute one book. When the first big books, Krishna books, you know, they didn't think, how can you sell this? But then somebody's selling, and in America they were saying, oh, somebody sold 5 Krishna books. Telephoning, no, that's impossible. Then somebody else 6, and like that. Finally now we're up 900. He said, I can't understand either, even physically, how you can do that. You know, unless someone just buys them all at once. right? Just to make the exchange of books and money and going, it, I can't figure it out. Because even we try to do 100, 200, it's so much work all day. You can go out and just as hard as you can. But somehow or other, Krishna is showing us Krishna is unlimited. So we're limited, but we put limitations. But as much as we surrender to Krishna, we can do more. In the battle of Kurukshetra, there were many different warriors. They had different capacities. But they're all fighting. Not that you'd say, no, they can't fight because they're not as good as Arjuna. No, everybody. And they fought. They competed in the rules and the battle. Different types of warriors fought against equals. It wasn't considered very great if big Adiratha defeated some little infantryman. That was considered breaking the rules of the fighting. They want to fight against equals. But ultimately we're competing against, you know, ourselves, try to always do better. Not only just more books, although of course we want to do more books, but better consciousness. Thinking of Krishna more and more, chanting better, more intensely, because we realize this all depends on Krishna. We've seen too many, like you said, shooting stars. There was one boy once, he was the biggest book distributor in America, and anybody would buy a book. And he would go completely slobby dressed, no shoes, and everybody would take a book. He would do so big. But then he didn't chant very much or anything, then someone met him after he left the movement. He said, oh yes, I did that. I was the biggest book distributor. I've done everything there is to do in Krishna consciousness. I was number one on the newsletter. Now I have to do something else. So that was an example of a very bad attitude. But the attitude is we try hard to please Krishna, and then Krishna will be pleased. As Prabhupada would say, one devotee came back in Bombay and Prabhupada said, how was the day? He said, terrible day. Nobody would give a donation. Nobody become life member. Prabhupada said, did you work very hard? He said, yes. He said, okay, very good. Krishna is pleased with you then if you work very hard. And the more we work hard, the more somehow or other results come. But they come in different ways. More and more books get distributed. Also, we have to inspire people to read the books. So we have to be interested in the books ourselves. Right? He gets laughing, but so many, we sometimes devotees are householders. So they're out there thinking, I have to get money, my baby needs this, my wife wants this. And they approach the person, and they're saying, excuse me, sir, but I got to pay the rent. So nobody's very interested because they're also like that. They have the same problems. But if we're thinking, excuse me, but you've forgotten Krishna, and, you know, if you don't connect with Krishna, your whole life is wasted, then we may say so many things, but they become very interested because no one has ever been concerned for their spiritual welfare before until they meet the devotee. It's a sadhu sangha. Lord Chaitanya's first teaching was sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Sarva siddhi hoy. It's the perfection of all perfections. Lava matra sadhu sangha. Even one moment, 1/11th of a second, that's like we can't calculate. But even that much association with devotee is declared by all the scriptures to be the best thing that can ever happen to anyone. So the people are getting that association. This is the best way to meet people. Somehow or other, the devotees are meeting, and we don't know how many people in a day. So many people are getting books, but even they don't get a book. We've all experienced over and over again. Some people, they don't take a book for years and years. They meet the devotee again and again and again. Finally, they meet some devotee, they say, all right, you know, I'll take it. I only see what that is. Or sometimes they, Maya's trick, and they say, well, I've met so many of you, but you're the first one I ever liked. You're so nice. You really know how to explain this. And we think, yes, that's a fact. I am such. And then After that, nobody takes. But actually, it's because so many other devotees have already been softening their heart. They've touched the book. They've heard a few words. So finally, they get pulled out from the Maya. Even they're seeing Harinam party, or they're seeing the devotees just out, anything like that. So this is our, Prabhupada said, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, if you get money, print books. That's the best investment. Then you have to sell the books. Prabhupada told Harikesh Swami, you fill up the temple with books. Just fill it up. So then if the devotees say, but there's no place to sleep now. All right, then sell the books. So because we want to sleep, at least maybe sell some books. Then fill it up again. Keep it full. Just, there's no limit how much these books can... There's always new people growing up. The population of the planet is increasing. They're in total anxiety. There's 5 billion people. What is it, in another 20, 30 years, there'll be another billion people. Right? Isn't it? Anybody know exactly? It's so horrible. But they don't know Krishna. They're thinking, how can they live all in New York City or all in Mexico City? But actually, they can all live very nicely anywhere if they had Krishna consciousness, if they weren't requiring so many anartas. Krishna's providing enough food and air and water for everybody, but they don't know what to do with it. They're so bewildered. So the devotees, we just think how to distribute more books, how to give more Krishna. This is our mission in life, to somehow give them Krishna in every kind of way. So the books, Prabhupada said, build these big temples in Mayapur. I don't know if you've seen the plans. Trying to make a plan, it's not easy to plan such a big thing, and how to build it within certain budgets. But the BBTs all over the world are giving money to build up this Mayapur city so that people can come from all over the world and really see everything Krishna conscious. But the all beginning and the end is in the books, in hearing and chanting about Krishna. No matter what else service we do or whatever they do, all begin with hearing something about Krishna. Hearing the devotee chanting about Krishna, that's our topmost activity. So when the book is Krishna, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna, devotee is constantly glorifying, this is a good book, you should read this book, or however we say it. Like he said, one time that one of the big Sankirtan leaders, he told Srila Prabhupada, we're going to make a tape of such and such big book distributor. And we're going to treat all the devotees to say exactly like him. Prabhupada said, no. He said, every devotee has their own genius. They'll all find. So we find some, they don't say anything almost. Others, they talk so fast. One girl in Japan, she talked so fast, I couldn't believe it. And the karmis were like... And they take the book and they tell their friends, oh, she talks so fast. Someone else is just looking at them, not saying anything, and they're taking the book. Someone is running all over. Someone is standing in one place. Someone likes a place where there's 10 million people in one. Like one train station in Tokyo, every day, 2.5 million people come in. They're going through all around. And now they're going to increase because the government, I don't know why, but they built 5 big skyscraper buildings to move all their government officials to that corner. So now it's going to be 3 or 4 million people every day. And but the devotees can go there, and somehow or other, in spite of all that, people stop, people get interested in Krishna, they take a book. Someone else goes in Sweden or Norway where there's 3 people in a whole town, and they're all sleeping all the time. Right? Isn't it? So both would think it's impossible in the other circumstance. But because Krishna is doing everything, he's in the heart of the people. Those people are somehow in this place or that place. We're somehow in this place or that place. But if the devotee wants them to get Krishna, he makes the endeavor. Somehow or other, whatever is required, and they get Krishna. We have to endeavor. Krishna is doing everything, but Prabhupada said again and again, that doesn't. Arjuna didn't sit down. Krishna didn't say, Arjuna, you sit down and I'll just do everything. Krishna, by his discus, he could have cut off the heads of everyone with one throw. Or by any means, he could have killed everyone in the battle of Kurukshetra. But he told Arjuna, you have to do this. Work. And if you read Mahabharata, you'll see sometimes Arjuna would get tired and he'd be leaning back. And Krishna would say, what's wrong with you? You're sick? What, you know, you're stupid? Why aren't you fighting? You know, when he fought with Bhishma, he wasn't trying very hard. The arrows were not effective because the arrows, it wasn't just the string of the bow. Like modern people, they're thinking bows and arrows. You know, that's like in Africa, they have a little bow like this and a little arrow and, you know, it goes 10 feet. And so they have to get really close and kill some animal with poison. But their bows were, of course, very powerful. No one in the world could pull Arjuna's bow except two or three people. Bhima and Arjuna and Krishna could even pull it. So, and then they pull it more far, but then put the mantras on. And when they put the mantras on, then those little arrows that just look like an ordinary arrow became Brahmastra weapons, atom bombs, became a 10,000 arrows, became so many things. This is a science. We have the Maha Mantra, topmost mantra. We may not be very powerful, but if we depend on Krishna, we see that all kinds of people can do big work in this book distribution. It's miraculous. There's no explanation why these gross materialistic people, like you said, the wife is telling them, don't take it. I guess that's in every country, huh? Any country we don't experience that? We call Maya. Sometimes the wife wants and the husband interrupts also. In Japan, the children tell them, don't take it. The old man and his daughter or something says, no, don't take it. They want money. They just want money, and they don't take it. But sometimes they do anyway, because the Krishna is in their heart. So Prabhupada explained that the devotee, he depends on Krishna for everything. He's talking to one reporter, and the reporter couldn't understand that. He said, where do you get money for this temple? Where are you getting all these things? Prabhupada said, we just depend on Krishna. Well, how is he giving? How can God, you know, who is he? Because they think it's nothing. Just God is just some idea you have, so how can he give you anything? So I said, just like somebody gave me $3,000 this morning, Mr. So-and-so. He said Krishna inspired him from within his heart, so he gave it. Someone else doesn't give it. The devotee doesn't get attached because he knows, well, Krishna inspired this one, he didn't inspire that one. So we just keep trying to find someone that's inspiring. They're out there. But by our desire, we may meet one type or another type. But all is for purification. If we meet 100 people that are just demons, the devotee becomes more determined. Humble attitude, he thinks, oh, something's wrong with me. If we're puffed up, we think, oh, this place is no good. This country is no good. Can't distribute books in this country anyway. So we might as well just quit. Right? Or this place. So sometimes the traveling parties, they just go every day. It's a new place. They get there and after 1 hour they think, oh, it's just, we better go. The next place I heard is much better. So they just drive and drive and wear out the car, use up all the gas. And then they say, well, you can't distribute books anyway. But we see the really fixed up distributors, somehow no matter where they go, the people just come. Even there's no people in sight anywhere, I remember I was used to, when I was traveling, this one devotee I was with, I would drop him off. There's no people, you know, it's just an empty little place. Then I would come back and he'd, you know, and all the books are finished. I said, how did you do that?
Well, Krishna sent some nice people.
Somehow everybody who happened to come through there, they would take the book. By the desire of the devotee, Krishna would send nice people. People who are, you know, receptive to Krishna. So this we have to work on. How do we work on that? By chanting, hearing about Krishna, reading the books, and praying, concentrating mind, how I can do this. Always thinking, the devotee's always thinking, you know, how I can, depending on what he wants to do, we're thinking about it even when we're not doing it. Some devotees are always thinking about when is lunch, you know, what I will eat, you know, where should I go? Here we can think, where should I go for lunch? You know, how, maybe I can go two places. But we're always thinking how I'll chant, you know, how I will distribute books, how to, you know, attract people to Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. Some people, they're not attracted. But Hari Namananda last year, he said, when someone asked him how you distribute 900 books, he was saying, well, the BBT devotees, they work hard. Guru is desiring, Krishna is desiring, so many devotees work to publish this book and bring it out here and fix the van, and I just tried not to interfere with this flow. So that's a good attitude. Not to, yes, well, I do everything so wonderfully and I tried so hard and I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I went out till midnight. Not like, maybe he did that. But he was just thinking, let me not interfere with this flow. And that's the thing. So many people look from Lord Chaitanya, from Vyasadeva, from Krishna, Brahma, everybody, they want these books distributed. And the people, Prabhupada said, they want these books. They are hankering. But they don't know that. They think, I want a new car, I want this, I'm looking for that, I got to have this. But actually, they want happiness, and happiness is Krishna. So this is a very simple book distribution, very simple. When the mind is simple and we're just thinking this book is very wonderful, this is Krishna, this is a soul, he's forgotten Krishna, we find some other, everybody takes a book. Isn't it? Everybody has the same experience. Every book distributor, if you meet from another part of the world, you find out same thing is happening. They're saying the same words, same mantras or lines or whatever. And the people are getting just as excited anywhere in the world that they got the book, that they like it so much. They want to read more and more books. We're finding this everywhere. Doesn't matter what country. We're getting letters. So we just pray. This year there's a resolution passed by the GBC. Came from the BBT trustees. It's quite long, so I can't remember it. But it says anyway that all the leaders in our movement, everybody should understand that the purpose of this movement is to make devotees so they can go and distribute books. So we all have to talk about this. It's the duty of all GBC men, temple presidents, anybody, to always preach like this. We make devotees so they can distribute more books, and we distribute more books so we can make devotees. That goes together. To train the devotees a little bit, because they have to be a little trained up to go out on Sankirtan. But if they have very nice association, nice atmosphere, they don't feel like I have to distribute 900 books the first day, otherwise they won't like me, you know. No. If Krishna is pleased, anybody just tries, even we don't distribute any books. But if we try, we will. There's no question. And more it adds up. We distribute one book, one book, one book. It becomes many. 2 million almost. So that's definitely, when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan the last days of his life, he was practically, the mail was coming, but gradually he only got the Sankirtan newsletter. He told them all the business and questions, just the secretary take care of that. But when the Sankirtan newsletter came, they would read him all the scores, and he was very happy. So this is not some, you know, just some material thing that the temple president needs money or you know, you have to do this in order to get a good wife, or any of those things, or a good husband. We've seen all those things. Of course, in the beginning, any motivation is all right. But ultimately, this is for the pleasure of spiritual master. Prabhupada is everybody's spiritual, he's the founder of Charya. So we know it's for his pleasure. And any devotee will be pleased when books are distributed. Lord Chaitanya is pleased. Krishna is pleased. Everyone is pleased. So this, we want to increase the numbers of temples are increasing like anything that are on this list. Isn't it? And, you know, how many... Scotland is ahead in books per person. Almost 1 out of 10 people have a book in Scotland in 1 year. In Switzerland, only 1 out of 20. But every other country, we're way down. In Japan is probably the last one. Of course, some countries don't have so many people. But we can, if we look at this, we can see how many people don't have books in all these countries. Only 1 out of 100 people have a book, or 1 out of 1,000. So that leaves a lot of people that don't have books. And then we have many, many books, so we just have to constantly remain enlivened and understand there's no limit. And this is what will make people happy. They are trying to save the world. They're so worried how to stop this problem. But this, all their bad karma, their sinful reactions, is causing all the pollution and all the murders and all the whatever's going on. And there's no way to stop that. You can't build a dam to stop the sinful reactions from coming if the people are sinful. But if they chant Hare Krishna, they get freed from so many sins that they can't commit. So also, if they read a book, take a book, they're going to chant. When the book is of Krishna, they know that. When they open any book, there's Krishna, Krishna. So they're chanting. So this will save the world. They may not believe it. They think, oh, you're two simpletons. You know, you don't understand how complicated everything is. But they don't understand how powerful Krishna is. That's the simplicity of a devotee. Just like a child, he knows his father can help him. So the Krishna can do anything. Krishna can provide, you know, he can change everything in a second. But he doesn't do it like that. But he lets it happen if the devotees work and they're preaching and giving people the taste of Krishna. Then the people change. And not only they stop sinful activities, but they do this chanting. And they read the books. And then when you read about Krishna, you're going to talk about Krishna. And that purifies the whole world. And that's what will save the world. So the devotees are the real heroes. They're the real ecologists. They're all the things that everybody wants. The devotees are the real authorities because they know Krishna can do it. Right? So they think, well, they're stupid, they're simpletons, you know, they don't understand, they have to get all so much engineering and so many things, but actually that won't help without Krishna. They can make all the arrangements they want, but if Krishna's not involved, then it never works. In our own personal life, we can purify ourselves by Krishna. The more we give Krishna, the more Krishna comes into our heart, helps us remember him. So it's for the benefit of everybody on all sides and for the pleasure of the spiritual master. So I'm sorry, I have to go because I have to meet someone. But thank you. Thank Manidhar Prabhu. It's hard to get him to speak. He's so humble. To try usually, and he just runs away and hides and nobody can find him for a few days. So we're very fortunate that somehow he got inspired because he thought it was just going to be a couple devotees. Krishna tricked him. And I don't know how many more you can arrange in Mayapur, but in Vrindavan we always arrange. Someone's already doing. Pradhana Swami is arranging for every day. Nice meeting. And everyone can get inspired. Learn how everybody's working to please Krishna. these miraculous things devotees do on Sankirtan, and the results of how the people become so happy. Sometimes we see the karmis are so happy to get a book, I can't believe it. Even in Japan, there's the busiest, crazy place, but some people come, oh, I got that book, I'm reading it, it's fantastic, yeah, it's great, you know. And we're very surprised because they have no time to do anything. But Krishna just gets them. He's all attractive. Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai. Okay. Who's next? Arigato. Don Krishna. Hare Krishna. Go ahead. Maybe they all have.